The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 23, if you want to find that in your Bible so you can follow along on the screen. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Well, it's not uncommon when you're reading the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, to find Jesus, either by himself or with his disciples, ministering to large crowds of desperate, needy people. And in one such scene, Jesus is with his disciples. Mark tells us that they're in a desolate place. There's a huge number of people. Jesus and his disciples are giving of themselves sacrificially to serve these very needy people. And they were so busy and engaged in this ministry, in fact, that they didn't even have enough time to eat. So Jesus, knowing the needs of his disciples, says, let's go away to the other side of this lake and let's find a place to rest. So they get in the boat and they make their way. But it says the crowds see them. They recognize them getting in the boat. They see them making their way to the other side. And so they start scrambling around the lake so that they could cut them off of the pass. And by the time Jesus and his disciples arrive at that shore, guess who's waiting for them? The same group of desperately needy people. And I try to imagine, like, putting myself in the shoes of the disciples, like, what would I be thinking and what would I be feeling in that moment after I'm just tired from working all day long and I haven't eaten anything, I'm hangry. I could imagine myself being just frustrated, annoyed, maybe even a little bit of angry, which makes Jesus' response all the more startling and impressive. That Mark tells us that when Jesus looks upon these crowds, he wasn't angry with them. He wasn't frustrated with them. He wasn't even annoyed. Instead, Jesus looks upon them and sees that they're harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion on them. Such a deep concern for their physical and spiritual well-being that he is moved to action on their behalf. It says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And we're often compared to sheep in the scriptures. And if you think about it long enough, that's not necessarily so flattering. In fact, there's an author, Philip Keller, who wrote a book in the 70s, A Meditation on Psalm 23, and he himself was a former shepherd. So he's writing from that perspective, and this is what he says about sheep. He says, sheep don't just take care of themselves, as you might imagine. Instead, they require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. He says, sheep are fearful, timid, stubborn, and prone to wander into all kinds of danger. He goes on to say that they will not lie down to rest until four needs are met. They will not sleep. They will not rest if they're afraid. So as you take stock of your own heart this morning, how many of your hearts are filled with an increasing degree of fear, worry, and anxiety? It says, sheep will not lie down to rest unless they're also free from friction with other sheep. And some of you are restless right now this morning because of a strained or broken relationship in your life. You can't get any sleep, can't get any rest, even when you're awake, because of it. 30 says sheep won't rest if they're tormented by pests like flies and ticks and parasites. And how many of you would say there's been something bugging you all week long? It could be something small, it could be something big, it might be a harsh word or frustration at work, or an ongoing conflict in your marriage. Maybe it's loneliness, maybe it's feelings of guilt, but there's something small or large that's been pestering you all week long. And finally, he says, sheep will not lie down to rest if they're hungry. I recently heard a statistic that right now there's 6 out of 10 Americans who are reporting some degree of financial strain. So maybe you have been restless because of your financial concerns. It seems like month after month there seems to be more of it than there is money. It all sounds very familiar when you think about it. We really are a lot like sheep. And I'm going to add one more characteristic to the list. Like sheep, our deepest need is for a good shepherd. A good shepherd who will have compassion on us, who will lead us, feed us, protect us, and help us find rest that our hearts so desperately long for. And that's why we're wrapping up our teaching series on Sabbath by looking to Psalm 23, in which the author, King David, who was also a former shepherd before he became king, declares this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or said another way, what more could I need if the Lord is my shepherd? And as we consider and reflect on this psalm together, we're going to discover a simple truth that, if embraced, if believed on a moment-to-moment basis, will provide us with a rest that transcends our circumstances, however good or bad they might be. And here's the truth that we're going to discover. Rest comes from a confident trust in the care of our shepherd. Rest comes from a confident trust in the care of our shepherd. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to go back to Psalm 23, starting in verse 1, and read it together. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for the truths that we're about to consider and reflect upon in this psalm, that you are our shepherd, most vividly so, most climactically so, in the sending of your Son, who is the good shepherd. We pray for anyone in this room who's never known you as their shepherd, God, that you would draw them to your Son this morning, that they would come to find in Jesus a rest that transcends circumstances. I pray the same for every one of us who have already begun to follow the Good Shepherd, because we still struggle with fear. We still struggle with pests. We still struggle with all kinds of hungers and thirsts, both physical and spiritual. And so we need your grace to live in a moment-by-moment recognition of your presence in our lives, that we would learn to have a confident trust in your care as our shepherd. So we ask for your provision, and we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, look again. Psalm 23, verse 1, King David's writing. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So here in verse 1, David begins with this declaration: "The Lord is my shepherd." And remember, when God is referred to this way as the Lord in our English Bibles with all capital letters, like, put your eye on that verse and notice the Lord is in all capital letters. That is the translator's way of telling us that in the original language, David was referring to God not by one of his many important divine titles, but by his divine covenant name, Yahweh. This is God's name, the name that he revealed to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3:14. There's this moment where God says, "Moses, I'm going to send you to Egypt, and through you I'm going to deliver my people from their slavery in Egypt." And Moses understandably says, "Well, when I go, they're going to ask me who sent me. What's your name? What name should I tell them?" And God says, "I am that I am. You tell them that I am has sent you." This is God's divine personal name. And so often in the scriptures, and certainly in this case, names have revelatory significance. It's telling us something of who God is by nature, in his essence. We're reminded that God is the self-existent, self-sufficient one. He is the creator of everyone and everything on which everyone else is dependent. He is transcendent, set apart over and above his creation. He is utterly unique. And I mention this because it's startling for David to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." To think that someone so high and exalted and majestic would be pleased to be associated with this vocation of being a shepherd, a vocation that was not always esteemed in the ancient world. In fact, as I was reading this, I was reminded of something in the Jesus Storybook Bible that I sometimes read to my kids before bed at night. Listen to the way the author of that Storybook Bible puts it, talking about shepherds. She writes, in those days, people used to laugh at shepherds and say they were smelly and call them rude names. People thought shepherds were nobodies, just scruffy old riffraff. And yet David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Not only this, but he continues to describe this relationship in the most personal and intimate terms. He not only says, the Lord is my shepherd, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is a truth that's been transformative in my own life. I mean, just the thought that in a world of 7 billion people, the creator of everyone and everything knows my name and graciously took it upon himself to pursue me when I was running in the opposite direction, to deliver me from the penalty and power of my sin and graciously bring me as an adopted son into his family, the church, so that he could lavish upon me his grace and mercy for the rest of my life. Or as David says in the psalm, so that his goodness and mercy may follow me the length of days. He is my shepherd. And if you're in Christ, that is also true of you, that the Lord is your shepherd. He knows everything about you. The good stuff, your most shameful memories and moments in life, and everything in between. And in full knowledge of it all, he has chosen in Christ to set on you his unwavering, loyal love for the rest of your days. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, he knows what you need before you even ask him in prayer. He knows you so well that the very hairs on your head have been numbered by him, and you've been invited to come to God by Jesus as a child would to their father, making your needs known to him so that he can graciously meet those needs from the fullness of who he is and what he has. Now let's think some more on what a shepherd does. Sheep, as we've said, are extremely vulnerable, dependent creatures. If they're going to flourish, they need a kind and competent shepherd. So put simply, a shepherd leads, feeds, and protects his sheep. That's what a shepherd does. And so David says, he, the Lord, makes me lie down in green pastures. If you'll recall, sheep will not lie down unless at least 4 needs are met. Sheep won't lie down if they're afraid. So again, I ask you, pause for a moment and assess the disposition of your own heart this morning. How many of you have hearts full of fear, of anxiety and worry? If I had to guess right now, the things that we are most inclined to be fearful of right now, a couple things come to mind. And the first is, some of you are fearful for the future of our country. I hear it a lot in casual conversations. I see it a lot in social media. Some of you are consumed with the news. You're consumed with talk radio. You're thinking about it all day long. And the more you think about it and the more you listen to those voices, the more fearful you get. You're genuinely fearful for the future of our country, not just for your own, but for your kids and your grandkids. And this has only been exacerbated by recent events at the Capitol. It's only been enhanced by the upcoming inauguration. Some of you are just full of fear when you think about the future of our country. And others of you are full of fear because you're afraid of getting sick. You're afraid you're going to get COVID, or you're afraid you're going to give COVID to someone else, especially those who are most vulnerable to it. Some of your hearts are full of anxious worry at the thought of that as a possibility. As I said before, like a recent statistic says, 6 in 10 Americans right now are saying something about having some sort of financial hardship or stress. And maybe that's true of you. Your hearts are full of fear because month after month you find no rest because you're just not sure how you're going to pay all the bills. You're just not sure there's going to be as much money as there is month. Sheep will not lie down if they're afraid. Sheep will not lie down unless they're free from friction with other sheep. As I said before, some of you are restless right now because of a strained or broken relationship. Maybe you're having marital problems. Maybe you're feeling some sort of distance in a relationship with a friend, perhaps another person in this church. Maybe you have a wayward child that you're fretting over constantly. If you're anything like me, friction in your relationships robs you of rest. As a bona fide people pleaser, I cannot find rest easily when peace doesn't mark my relationships. We all need to be okay. So if you got something against me, we need to talk, just so you know. Sheep won't lie down if they're tormented by pests, whether that's a tick or a or some other kind of parasite. And it reminded me of a story a couple summers ago when I was able to get out of town with my family, went to Branson for a couple vacation days, and we were staying in this kind of log cabin. And one night I went to bed very, very peacefully, only to be brought out of my slumber suddenly with this just aching pain in the side of my head. And so one of the kind of the, I came to, and it was less groggy and foggy, and I flipped on the lights. What do I see? A wasp just hanging out right by my pillow. And I did something to tick it off, and so it just stabbed me in the side of the head. And so for the rest of the evening, as I tried to slumber, I just had this throbbing pain pestering me all night long. And sometimes things in life are like that. I had one of those weeks this week. I had a discouraging conversation Wednesday morning, a missed opportunity Thursday night, a harsh critical word about me on Friday morning that consumed my thoughts and hearts all day long. Friday is typically my day of rest, but it was anything but restful this week. So I don't want to overstate it, and yet it was one of those things pestering me all week long, robbing me of rest. Sheep won't lie down if they're tormented by pests. And sheep won't lie down if they're hungry, which of course brings us back to verse 1, where David says, "He, the Lord, the shepherd, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So David, speaking from the perspective of a sheep under the Lord's care, that says that though we are all vulnerable and needy and anxious so much of the time, this is what we need to know and understand. It's not the perfect circumstances that we all long for that will ultimately bring us rest. What will ultimately bring us the deep rest that we need is to understand that it's the very presence of God himself, our shepherd, that will bring us rest with regard to whatever circumstances we're going to. It's ultimately the presence of the shepherd that provides us rest. So David says in verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." Not because my circumstances are perfect, or because there's tons of money in the bank account, or because my health is perfect, or because my country is in a perfect state of peace, but because you're with me in all of it. Rest comes from a confident trust in the care of our shepherd, despite your circumstances. And when I read these words in Psalm 23, I can't help but think of Jesus as the ultimate and perfect fulfillment of this psalm. The one who said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He says, "I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I laid down my life for the sheep." That's the kind of shepherd we have. And when I read these words in Psalm 23, when I read the words, "He makes me lie down in green pastures," an image itself of God's benevolent care for the sheep, green pastures with plenty of food and rest, I can't help but think of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus, through him, invites us to address God as Father with these words: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And listen to this next line: "Give us today our daily bread." Jesus invites us to come to God as Father, to make our needs known to him, knowing that God, as a good and generous Father, will be pleased to meet them, whatever that true need might be. When I read, "He leads me beside still waters," I can't help but think of Jesus' words in John 7:37, where he stands up in front of a crowd once again and he cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Rest comes from a confident trust in the care of the shepherd. When I read, "He restores my soul," I can't help but think of Jesus' words in Matthew 11:28 that we've repeated every single week of this series, where he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Are you laboring and heavy laden? Are you weary this morning? He says, "I will give you rest. I myself will give you rest. So take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart." He's not an oppressive taskmaster. He's not angry or frustrated with you. He's gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest comes from a confident trust in the care of our shepherd. And when I read, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake," I think a couple of things. One thing, we couldn't find a path of righteousness if it was directly in front of us. At best, we're going to find a path of self-righteousness. Just get online. Just go on your social media. Nothing but self-righteousness to go around. And I can't help but think of Jesus' words in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the path of righteousness. He gives us a gracious gift of righteousness through faith in his finished work. And by his Spirit, he makes us righteous from the inside out. And as we trust and follow him, we will have a path of righteousness all the way to Jesus himself. One day, rest comes from a confident trust in the care of our shepherd. And when I read, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I can't help but think to the lengths of which God himself went to be with us, though we like street sheep had gone astray. God was utterly committed to being with his people. So in his great love and by his amazing grace, he sent his only son, Jesus, into the brokenness of our world and into the brokenness of our own lives. He is identified with you and I forever in our humanity. He knows what it is to be lonely, to be hungry, to be betrayed by friends, to be discouraged. He knows what all of that is like because he has joined himself to us forever in our humanity. Even in this moment, the risen, exalted Jesus, who is in the presence of God every moment of every day, stands there as the God-man, forever our representative. And he first walked through the valley of the shadow of death himself by dying in our place and for our sin on the cross to bring us back to God. And he came out on the other side of that valley, God raising him from the dead and bringing him into his own presence at his right hand. And because Jesus lives forever as our great and merciful high priest, we can confidently come to him any moment of every day. He intercedes always, lives forever on our behalf as our high priest. And because that's true, we can rest with a confident trust in the care of our shepherd. He will give us grace and mercy in all of our weakness and all of our times of need. So rest comes from a confident trust in the care of our shepherd. And if you would come back with me to that story we told at the beginning of our teaching time. Jesus approaches that shore and he's looking upon that desperate, needy crowd. And as we said, he wasn't annoyed by them. He wasn't frustrated with them. He certainly wasn't angry with them. Instead, he looks upon them with compassion as those harassed and helpless, sheep without a shepherd. And the next thing he does is so significant. He tells his disciples to group them into different groups of people sitting on the green grass. And what's interesting is that Mark has already told us that that's a desolate place that they're in. You wouldn't think first of green grass and abundant pastures in a desolate place. What Mark's doing is he wants us to think of Psalm 23 in this moment. As we hear that story, we're supposed to think that Jesus is the fulfillment of that psalm. He is the good shepherd who is caring for the sheep who are without a shepherd. And he is able to create green, luscious pastures in the middle of the most desolate places and times of our life by his very presence. Not by changing our circumstances necessarily, but simply by being with us. And the story proceeds with Jesus filling their bellies miraculously with abundant food and bread, more than enough. And he fills their souls by teaching God's word to them. Like Jesus himself meets our deepest needs and he gives us rest. And so here in a moment, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And it's going to provide us with an incredible opportunity to respond meaningfully to this word from Psalm 23. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, we're remembering God's provision for our deepest needs in the broken body and shed blood of Jesus on the cross. And as we meditate on Christ's self-giving love, as the Good Shepherd laid down his life for us, we can be assured all over again of God's goodness and mercy and presence in our lives for all our days and on into eternity. So before you come forward, I want to encourage you to take a step. And that step depends on where you currently are with Jesus. If you're not yet following him, this is what you need to understand, that this good news about Jesus, how he lived an obedient life as your representative, how he died in your place and God raised him from the dead, and how he now rules and reigns as king over everyone and everything, it demands a response. And the appropriate response is to turn from sin and to trust in Jesus as your good shepherd. That rest that we've been reading about is found only in Christ. Outside of Jesus, there is no rest. Not now, not in eternity. And so the appropriate response is to turn to Jesus for the very first time. And if you do, God promises that he will forgive you. He will bring you into his family as an adopted son or daughter, and he will be with you forever through the gift of his Holy Spirit who has taken up residence within you. I mean, how much closer can God be to us every moment of every day? He's as close by his Spirit as the very breath in your lungs or the heart beating in your chest. The problem is that we need to be awakened to that reality in a moment-to-moment basis. So if you've not yet followed Jesus, that is the invitation that you would come to him. But for those of you who already have, I want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer before you come forward. Much like the prayer Paul prays for the Ephesian Christians when he says, "May the Lord grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Remember, he's praying this for Christians who already know Jesus, that the eyes of their hearts would be awakened to that reality on a moment-by-moment basis. So just before you come forward, pray that prayer. Ask God to open the eyes of your heart, that you would not be ruled by fear, that you would not be ruled by your anxieties. Instead, that you could find a confident trust in the care of your shepherd every moment of every day and find rest in him. So let's pray. Father, I pray that prayer for myself and for everyone in this room, God. We like sheep, are so prone to wander. We are needy. We are stubborn. We are full of fear so often. And yet your word tells us that in Jesus, you have brought us near to yourself, that you are our shepherd, that we have everything that we need simply by your presence in our lives. And yet we struggle to believe that. We struggle to rest in that. And so that's what I ask this morning. If for those in the room who don't know Jesus, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that they would repent of all the ways that they are trying to find food and drink for their souls in substitute saviors, and instead they would come to the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for them for the very first time. For those of us who have already begun following Jesus, help us to have a confident trust in the care of Jesus, who is our Good Shepherd, and to live in light of that reality every moment of every day. We ask that in Jesus' name.